as I clasp it behind her neck. I love you more than you can comprehend. I'll give you anything you want, Charlene. Just stay with me. Let me love you like I'm supposed to. Let me be exactly what you need.
You already are.
I kiss her, and my whole world seems to come together and fall apart at the same time. She's everything. She's all the missing pieces I need to feel whole.
Chapter 19. Candy Addict. Charlene. Darren and I don't make it farther than the kitchen counter before we're naked and all over each other. Makeup slash love declaration sex is the best. Not that I want to have more arguments or breakups, but love declarations only happen once. All the anxiety and stress of the past week is erased by each kiss and touch. I believe Darren when he says he'll never put the lid on my jar. He's always been safe and warm, and now that he knows about all the good and bad parts that make me who I am, it feels like he's truly mine. An hour later, we're stretched out on the couch in the living room. Darren has on boxers, and I'm wearing the shirt he arrived in. The rest of the clothes are scattered around the kitchen. I reach into the bowl next to me and unwrap a candy. I'm already relaxed, thanks to all the orgasms, and I'm a little hungry post-sex, but too lazy to go to the kitchen for a snack, and too comfortable wrapped up in Darren. I pop the candy in my mouth and settle back against his chest. I toss the wrapper, aiming for the coffee table, but I miss and it flutters to the floor. Darren reaches down and picks it up, inspecting the opaque square.
What kind of candy is this?
It's herbal. I pull myself up a little higher so I can kiss his neck. His skin is salty in contrast to the sweet taste in my mouth. He twists a little so his mouth is close to mine and sniffs while frowning.
Where'd you get them from?
My mom makes them. I don't usually eat them when I'm with Darren since I like the kind of anxiety he evokes in me. Darren curves his palm around the side of my neck and presses his lips to mine. When his tongue sweeps out, I part my lips, allowing him inside. He strokes against my tongue a few times before he pulls back, still frowning. He repositions us so we're sitting up.
Stick your tongue out for me.
What?
Your tongue, stick it out.
They're an acquired taste. I mumble but do as he asks, the candy sitting on the end of my tongue. He pops it in his own mouth, rolling it around, which would be kind of gross since it's been in my mouth, but then again, he does put his tongue in there, among other places. After a few seconds, he spits it into the wrapper.
How often do you eat these?
I shrug. I don't know. Usually a few a day. His eyes go wide.
A few a day? How long have you been eating these?
I don't understand why he's so shocked. I don't know. My mom has been making them as long as I can remember. I didn't think it was possible for his eyes to be any wider.
You ate these as a kid?
They're calming. Now I'm defensive about it. I love these candies.
Yeah, they would be since I think they're made from weed.
No, they're not. I scoff.
I'm pretty sure they are. How do you think they get that green tinge to them?
They're herbal.
And the herb they're made with is weed.
How would you know that? You're not allowed to use recreational drugs, I point out.
Correct, but I've spent enough time around Alex's dad to know what weed smells like since he's a chronic pothead.
He doesn't say anything else, possibly waiting for me to process this information. I have to cover my mouth with my palm since I'm incapable of closing it. The greenhouses at the Harvest Co-op, aka the ranch, flash through my mind. Endless rows of gorgeous green plants. The smell of skunks, the barbed wire-topped fence, how we were located out in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. All of it suddenly makes sense. Holy fuck, I say from behind my hand as the truth settles in. Oh my God, my mother turned me into a pothead.
Maybe there isn't any THC in them,
Darren offers. I think about how I've been this week, all the candies I've eaten and how much I've been zoned out and napping like it's my job. How many donuts I've consumed. I consider how I'm relaxed for hours after I eat those candies, how they always seem to heighten that tingly feeling in my body, particularly the one between my thighs when I'm nervous. I have to wonder if they're somehow related. I almost always have one with my tea right before I go to bed when I'm at home. I can still sleep like the dead, the flaily dead, even with all my afternoon naps. I drop my hand from my mouth. I'm a pothead.
There are a lot worse things to be.
I've been carrying those around with me everywhere. I've taken them on planes, Darren. Oh my God, what if I've been arrested? My mother is a dealer. And it dawns on me that Darren had one in his mouth. Shit, now you have weed in your system. What if you test positive at the next mandatory drug test?
It's off season. There aren't any mandatory tests anytime soon, and I had like 3 sucks of a candy.
A little of the unease dissipates, but fires right back up. What if I'd offered them to Sunny and Violet? They're both pregnant.
You haven't given them any, have you? Or to any of the guys?
Well, no, my mom said it was best not to share them, but I could have ignored her, and then I'd be feeding a baby weed or ruining NHL careers. I'm starting to feel lightheaded even though I'm sitting down. I need to get rid of them.
Whoa.
Darren grabs my arm before I can reach the bowl of candies.
I don't think it's a good idea to throw those out.
Well, I can't keep them now that I know what they are.
Darren pulls me back into his lap. Calm down, Firefly.
I don't think I can. Shit, I'm at a risk of hyperventilating, and all I want to do is simultaneously eat all of those candies and flush them down the toilet. He kisses me softly.
Take a deep breath and listen to me, okay, Charlene?
I nod and do as he asks, sucking in as much oxygen as my lungs will allow, then breathing my weed candy breath in his face.
You said you've been eating those as long as you can remember?
Since I was a teenager, I guess. He tucks a few hairs behind my ear, tracing the shell with his fingertips. They're softer than usual because he's not training as hard.
So you've been eating these every single day for the past decade?
He picks up the discarded candy from the coffee table. Peeling it off the wrapper, he holds it to my lips.
I think you should eat this.
My mouth waters in anticipation. Oh, God, I'm an addict.
It's just weed, Charlene. It's not like you've been shooting heroin your entire life. But I wouldn't suggest quitting cold turkey. It might be a good idea to cut down a little, though.
He taps my lip and I open my mouth, allowing him to pop the candy back in. I feel instantly better, which I realize is not possible.
Okay, so tell me about these candies. Your mother's been making them since you were a teenager?
Darren rearranges me so I'm straddling his lap, facing him. I think back to when it all started. Earlier than that, when we were at the ranch, we grew all our own food. We had greenhouses, and there were some I wasn't allowed in, but I'd caught a few glimpses here and there. Harvest time was always busy. My mom would be gone all day and sometimes late at night. Then they'd make candies and box them all up, and trucks would come and take them away. Jesus! I pause for a moment, remembering very clearly the night we escaped. When we left the compound, my mom had a car waiting for us, and we had 3 backpacks, 2 of them filled with candies and some money, and the other had my stuff. That's how we survived until she found a job.
That was pretty resourceful and a lot fucked up.
This is crazy! I can't believe I've been eating weed candies for years and didn't know it, and that my mom failed to mention it.
Do you think they're still making those candies?
Yes, definitely. There was a box of them on my front porch on my birthday. I thought it was a birthday present from you, so I left them on my counter. I opened them the other day. I was going to throw them away on garbage day because there's no way I'd ever eat anything from the ranch, but I haven't had a chance yet. Let me get them. I find them in the garage and bring them back to the living room. Darren opens the box and peeks inside. My mom's candies have a tiny logo on the wrapper. I'd never thought anything of it until I note letters stamped on the mint green wrapper of these. Darren unwraps the candy, inspecting it. He looks up at me.
If I'm right about any of this, we might have found a way to get rid of Frank.
Chapter 20. Going Down. Darren. When I look back on the night I met Charlene, I don't think I ever would have pegged her for a pothead who was raised in a commune, but then people only let you see what they want you to until they take their masks off. Still, this is the kind of thing they base reality TV shows on. In fact, if they haven't already, I'd be surprised. I should call Robbie. I tell Charlene. She looks a hell of a lot shell-shocked. I can't say she doesn't have a right, considering she's just found out she's been carrying around illegal narcotics in the form of candies for over a decade. Or that her mother is a manufacturer of weed edibles and may very well be a dealer. I call Alex to see if his dad is around. They've been visiting Chicago a lot lately, with Sunny and Violet both being pregnant.
Yeah, man, my dad's here. What's up? Everything okay?
Yeah, things are okay. I have some questions for him, though. Would it be okay if Charlene and I stopped by? I check the time. It's the middle of the afternoon. You're with Charlene?
I am.
That's good news. And yeah, of course you can come over, both of you, obviously. Miller and Sonny are here with Logan and Skye, and Sydney are supposed to be over soon for a barbecue. We're all hanging out by the pool, so bring a suit.
Great, thanks. We'll be by in a bit.
Charlene packs a beach bag with a bathing suit and changes into a lavender sundress with my help, of course. She seems to be on autopilot, which isn't all that surprising. We take my car to Alex's place with the box of candies from the ranch and a few of the ones her mom makes for comparison's sake. Violet meets us at the front door. She looks from me to Charlene and cocks a brow.
Please tell me this means I don't have to stop at Krispy Kreme tomorrow.
No more trips to Krispy Kreme, Charlene replies with an embarrassed smile.
I'm glad that's over because it was getting awkward. The same kid works every morning, and he was starting to remember my order.
She rubs her still mostly flat belly.
So does this mean you're officially back together?
Charlene looks up at me, so I put my arm around her shoulder and pull her into my side. She feels good there, right, like she fits. Even better, I drop the L-bomb on her. Violet does some weird little dance and shakes her hands around in the air. It almost looks like a toddler who has to pee.
It's about fucking time. We all knew you two loved each other. I'd say I don't understand why it took so long for the two of you to figure it out, but considering how screwed up you both are, I'm just glad you got there without turning into Bonnie and Clyde and going on a murder spree.
It could still happen, I deadpan. Violet points a finger in my face.
Don't do that. Remember, I'm the one who knows how not sinister you really are, so that face isn't going to work on me. Also, I'm prone to nightmares at this stage in my pregnancy, and I would appreciate it if that didn't include my best friend starring in them as some kind of female version of Dexter.
You're the one who mentioned murder sprees.
Right, okay. Topic officially dropped. Come on in. Alex and Miller are trying to teach Logan how to use a hockey stick. The poor kid has barely mastered walking.
She shakes her head and motions for us to follow her to the backyard. Logan seems more interested in hitting Miller in the shins and smashing flowers than the red foam puck they keep pointing out, but he seems to be entertained, if nothing else. Sunny's reclined in a lounger with Daisy and Skye on either side of her. Their conversation comes to a halt when they notice us, and I realize that Charlene probably hasn't seen them since her birthday. I lean in and press my lips to her temple.
Don't worry, Firefly. They love you exactly as much as they did before, if not more.
She tips her chin up, eyes meeting mine.
How did you happen to me?
I believe your best friend hooked up with my best friend, which likely wouldn't have happened had Alex not won a bet and room to himself.
I remember Violet telling me about that. What was the bet, anyway?
Who could come up with the longest word in an online game of Scrabble?
Seriously? I expected something so much more interesting.
It was a long bus ride. We were bored. Alex got lightning. It was impressive. I press a kiss to her perfect lips, promising myself we're going to make out later. For hours. Like teenagers. I step back as Skye and Daisy converge on Charlene. Sunny's still working on sitting upright. She's looking really pregnant these days.
Darren!
Robbie motions me over to where he and Sydney are sitting in the shade, watching their sons be dads.
They're starting early, huh? I nod to Alex and Miller.
Pretty sure Miller thinks he's going to be drafted by the time he's in preschool,
Sydney says with a smile. Alex takes a break from getting slammed in the shins with a hockey stick to grab me a beer.
Everything okay?
He glances over at Charlene, who's corralled into a corner with Sunny, Violet, and the moms.
With Charlene? Yeah. We figured it all out. Just took me getting my head out of my ass to make it happen.
That's good.
Vi was worried about both of you this week.
So was I, but I think we've got it all sorted out now. She's agreed to move in with me, which I'm taking as a good sign.
Alex's eyebrows pop up.
Whoa, that's a big step.
I nod and rock back on my heels.
Yeah? It's about time, right?
He laughs.
It really is.
Thanks for sticking by me. I know I'm not the easiest person to understand, but I don't think Char and I would be where we are if it wasn't for you.
I didn't really do anything except give you some advice.
You've done a lot more than that, Alex. Watching you and Vi grow together, being part of this family, I motion to his backyard, full of the people we both care about. This is how I figured out how to love Charlene. So yeah, thanks.
Jesus, I sound like an asshole.
Alex frowns, brows pulling down, and he blinks repeatedly before he claps me on the shoulder.
I'm gonna hug you now, so don't punch me.
I laugh, but it gets caught in my throat with a whole bunch of other emotions when he really does pull me in for a hug. He slaps me on the back a few times, though, just to keep it manly. Eventually, I manage to get around to talking to Robbie about the weed candies. I want to make sure I'm right about the ones from the ranch or the Harvest Co-op, as seems to be the name on the wrapper, before I go calling it in to the cops. I also want to verify I'm right about the candies Charlene's mother makes. Of course, Robbie is only too happy to check out the stock. He opens the box of candies almost giddily and picks one up. His expression turns serious.
Where did you say you got these?
I'm guessing someone from the RV left it on Charlene's doorstep the day of the party.
Would Charlene know where they got these from?
They're the ones who produce it, according to Char.
Really?
Robbie's eyes light up and he calls Charlene over, which prompts the entire group to congregate around the two of them while she explains what happened when she was growing up at THC, the acronym now making a lot more sense. Robbie listens raptly, as does everyone else.
This is all very interesting,
Robbie murmurs once she finishes explaining what used to go down at THC.
And how old were you when you and your mom left?
I was 14 and a half.
Charlene chews on her bottom lip.
My mom took a couple of bags of candies with her. I think maybe she sold them and I started eating them, but I'm not sure if these are like the ones my mom makes.
Robbie perks up. Makes? As in still?
Yeah. She sends them to me every month. I didn't realize they were weed candies.
She said they were herbal, and I thought it was more like a cough candy, but apparently I'm a pothead, so...
She stops rambling and looks around the group, her cheeks flushed.
Nothing wrong with being a pothead, Robbie smiles. Unless you're a professional hockey player, then you have to wait until you're retired to enjoy that kind of relaxation.
He taps on the arm of his chair.
You wouldn't happen to have one of the candies your mom makes, would you?
Sure. I have some in my purse.
Charlene roots around in her bag and retrieves a handful of candies.
These are from the last batch, so they might be a bit stale.
Robbie unwraps one made by Wednesday and one from THC and sets them side by side on the table, inspecting them closely.
Very curious, he mumbles.
What's curious?
Charlene leans in to get a closer look.
See how the coloring is slightly different?
Mm-hmm. The ones my mom makes are greener.
It could be a purity thing.
He pops the one made by Wednesday in his mouth.
Robbie, what are you doing? Daisy asks. Research, darling.
He grins.
I have a few theories about these candies, and I should know in about 45 minutes if they're correct or not.
What's the theory?
Charlene asks.
A little over 25 years ago, right when I took the position at MJ Labs, edibles were growing in popularity. There was a company that we'd been struggling to locate that began producing candies much like the one I'm eating. They cornered the market, but we didn't know where they came from and couldn't track the supplier. The recipe was flawless, the perfect balance to induce relaxation but maintain productivity. No matter how much we studied them, we couldn't replicate the recipe. Then a little more than 10 years ago, the quality began to suffer.
Something about the production had changed, and we couldn't figure it out. I may have the answer now.
Which is what? I ask.
Charlene's mother leaving is the reason the quality suffered. I think she may very well have been the pioneer of the ultimate in edible candies.
45 minutes later, Robbie is pretty much convinced this is the case. And based on his ridiculous smile and the coveted bowl of chips he keeps stuffing in his face, I'm thinking Charlene has developed quite the tolerance for those. He says he has to do a few more tests to make sure he's correct, and he'd like to bring the candies back to the lab in Canada so he can compare them, but it appears as though Frank has been funding the co-op through illegal marijuana manufacturing.
Chapter 21. Life on the Upswing. Darren. All it took was one anonymous tip. I placed the call because Charlene couldn't bring herself to do it, and Frank's entire operation fell apart. The media were all over THC like rabid dogs. Charlene couldn't handle watching any of it. Part of it had to do with the memories, but she worried a lot about the girls she'd grown up with and how they would handle suddenly being thrust into a world that had changed so radically while theirs had remained narrow and isolated. I learned a lot about how Charlene dealt with their escape and how the internet and her mom's job formed the basis of her sex education, which explains pretty much everything about her bedroom antics. I couldn't stand to see Charlene upset, so I pulled some strings and set up an anonymous fund to help reintegrate them into society. We were able to secure housing where they could all remain together, if that was what they wanted. Unsurprisingly, most of them opted to work at a local greenhouse facility. Charlene's mom decided not to participate in the Mama Dom reality show, thank fuck, and instead she took an external consulting role with Robbie's lab, which paid well enough that she decided she would retire from being a career dominatrix, except for a couple of her favorite clients, anyway. But the best news came at the end of June. Well, it was the best news for me, but not for King, our goalie, who ended up traded in the expansion draft, which means I have 2 years left with Chicago, and then we'll see what happens after that. I won't take Charlene away from Chicago or the people she loves, so if they don't renew my contract, I'll retire. Alex knows that, my agent knows that, and most importantly, Charlene knows that. I climb the steps to the front door and key in the code, having just finished a morning workout with Alex. We'll be getting together again later in the afternoon for a barbecue at his place.
Charlene?
I'm home. I smile a little. The new car smell hasn't worn off on saying that in the month since she moved in. I wait for her reply, but all I get is silence. Her car is in the garage, so she has to be around here somewhere. Her new car, the one I bought for her as a move-in gift. Excessive? Maybe. But it's a nice car, and she deserves nice things for putting up with my shit on a daily basis. I drop my hockey bag by the laundry room door and head for the living room. Sometimes she listens to music while she reads or works in her chair, but she's not there. I find her in the kitchen. She's wearing earbuds and concentrating on something. I pull one of the buds free, and she startles, nearly falling off her stool. You know we have a whole house sound system. You could save your hearing and some heart palpitations if you use that to rock out to... I lift the bud to my ear to catch the tune. Madonna? She snatches the earbud from me. It's retro. I smile at her pink cheeks and glance at the counter. What's all this? The surface is covered in various candies and boxes of fruit roll-ups. Maybe she's been into her candy stash and has the munchies or something. Charlene claps her hands together excitedly. I thought we could try something new. I raise a brow. Since moving in, Charlene has started pulling out the I thought I might like it, but I changed my mind toy box. 50% of the time she decides she still hasn't changed her mind, but the other half of the time, well, let's just say it's been a stimulating transition. I motion to the array of candies. You want to get a sugar high before we have sex? She purses her lips, then licks them as her eyes dart around. She squares her shoulders, apparently finding her resolve. This should be interesting. No, I thought maybe we could play dress-up.
I look at her, and then the counter, trying to figure out what the fuck she's talking about. I don't get it. What are we dressing up?
Your cock.
Her tongue hits the roof of her mouth when she says cock, purposely making it sound liquid, so of course mine hardens until her meaning finally registers. No. She pouts.
Come on, it could be fun.
I cross my arms over my chest. Absolutely fucking not. She opens her mouth, likely to argue her case, but I put up a hand to stop her. I don't give a shit if Alex lets Violet emasculate his dick with costumes. That's their thing. It's not going to be ours.
But I worked so hard on this.
She holds up what appears to be some kind of cape. I've heard about this, not because I want this kind of information, but because sometimes Charlene shares things she probably shouldn't with me. Apparently living together gives me extra information privileges. I'd be fine without them, but Charlene is chatty before bed at times. As I take in the array of cape-like designs, I'll admit, in my head and never out loud, that she's been very creative. Still no. She bites her lip, clearly trying to come up with a way to convince me to let her dress up my dick like a fucking superhero. Her eyes light up and a coy smile appears.
I'll let you tie me up.
For half a second I get excited by this prospect, and then I cock a brow. No, you won't. She runs a hand up my chest.
With the yellow satin ribbons?
As enticing as her offer may seem, I know, Charlene. I'll get one wrist tied to the bed, and you'll change your mind like last time. She was so cute and anxious as hell by the time I freed that one wrist. It took me about 30 seconds to make her come. I also got a sweet blowjob as a concession.
I won't change my mind this time, I promise.
She parts her legs and pulls me between them. She really doesn't want to give up on this, apparently. Okay, I concede. I get to use the yellow satin ribbons, then you get to dress up my dick with an edible costume. Her brows pull together and I fight a smile. This is clearly not going the way she expected. Do we have a deal? She huffs.
What about anal instead?
I scoff. Baby, you love me in your ass. If I'm going to let you make a fool out of my dick, I better be getting something phenomenal in return. She chews on the inside of her lip and starts slipping buttons free on my shirt. Her knees press against the outside of my legs.
What about anal against the window in the front room?
I like everything about that idea, except the landscapers are here. Usually the whole point is the illusion of an audience, but I have an issue with that today. No.
No?
She tips her head to the side, regarding me curiously.
Why not? The landscapers are working on the garden right under the window, aren't they? You love that.
She hops off the stool before I can stop her and rushes for the front room, stripping off her shirt as she goes. I chase after her, bra smacking me in the chest and dropping to the floor. Charlene's all giggles as she glances over her shoulder and pulls her shorts and panties down, kicking them off. You're not playing fair, Firefly.
Says the man who likes to make me wait all damn day for an orgasm.
She wiggles her ass and slaps her palms against the glass, causing the landscapers to look up, which is when the reason I said no becomes obvious. The company who does my landscaping hired a new kid. He's in his early to mid-20s and has sleeves. She spins around, wearing an amused smile and thumbs over her shoulder.
So it's okay when the Rams bottoms and their poodle wandering by, or ancient Bob, but this new guy is a problem?
You're not checking him out while I'm fucking you.
You think I'm going to check him out?
I've seen the way you eye my tattoo artist. This kid looks almost the same, except less broody.
I was trying to figure out the design on his arm, not check him out.
Still no. She throws her hands up in the air.
Oh, come on, stop being so difficult.
I laugh and thread my fingers in her hair. I'm always difficult. I brush my lips over hers. I appreciate your creativity, but you already own my balls. You're not dressing up my dick.
I'm trying to be fun, Darren.
She pouts. It's cute, and she's obviously already worked up considering the way she's rubbing her thighs together. Stay right here and don't move.
I go back to the kitchen and grab one of the bar stools. Charlene is exactly where I left her when I return, rolling her pearls over her lips. I give her a dark look as I set the stool down in front of the window and hold out a hand. Have a seat, Charlene. She releases her pearls and slips her palm into mine, allowing me to guide her to the stool where she sits facing the front yard. The landscapers are working on the bushes to the right. I adjust her position so her ass is hanging over the edge, and I have the access that I need. Hands on the window, I whisper in her ear. She complies, palms flat on the glass. I slide a palm under her chin and tip her head back so she has to look at me. I run my other hand down her spine and between her thighs to circle her entrance. I bend to touch my lips to hers. Hands stay on the window, and eyes stay on mine, or I stop.
Okay.
She nods and arches her back, probably trying to get me to finger her. Too bad I'm not in a hurry to make her come. I spend the next 10 minutes making painfully slow figure eights around her clit and her entrance, but not penetrating. I know exactly the moment to back off, so she doesn't go over the edge.
Darren...
She whines and lifts her right hand from the window. Hands, Firefly. Yours stay where they are if you want mine to stay where mine are. She moans and slaps her palm against the window. The landscapers have moved on at this point, but she doesn't know that. I go back to doing figure eights around her clit. It's a good thing the floor is hardwood. You're making quite the mess right now. She's dripping down my fingers.
You're so mean, she grumbles.
I laugh. Weren't you the one who wanted to play?
I wasn't expecting orgasm torture, she shoots back.
That's the moment I push two fingers inside her, find the sweet spot, and start pumping, hard and fast. She can't keep her hands on the window, and for a second, I consider stopping again, but we're spending the afternoon with friends, and I don't want her pissed off at me, so I keep pumping, and she starts coming. She latches onto my arm, nails digging in, as her mouth falls open and a low moan bubbles up. I drop my mouth to hers. Does it feel good?
Oh my God, yes.
The S draws out long and low, and still, I keep pumping and she keeps coming. I could have her like this, but I want her wrapped around me, so I spin the stool around and fumble with a button on my jeans. Yanking down the zipper, I free my cock, part her legs, line myself up, and push inside. We're finishing this upstairs so I can fuck you like I love you.
Whatever you want, Darren.
And you're not dressing up my dick, ever. I grab two handfuls of ass and pick her up. Her lips find the edge of my jaw as I carry her up the stairs. When she gets to my ear, she whispers,
"You have to sleep sometime."
I chuckle ominously as I stretch out on top of her on our bed and grind my hips into hers. I think you've forgotten who the lighter sleeper is between the two of us. Her eyes flare and she starts to tremble again, likely a combination of the sudden spike of uncertainty and the grinding. I dip down and press my lips to hers. I love you, little Firefly.
I love you too.
Don't forget that when you wake up tied to the bed one day soon. Another nerve-shattering orgasm steals her breath. I wait until she comes down again before I kiss her and love her and tease and torment and love her some more. Epilogue. Fireflies Forever. Darren. One summer later.
Someone smells like he could use a diaper change.
Sunny scrunches up her nose and passes off Baby Lane to Miller.
It's your turn this time.
You gotta keep an eye on Logan and make sure he's not feeding Wiener all the cocktail wieners, or we're going to have bigger problems than this stinker right here. Miller holds the screaming baby at arm's length, face contorted into a grimace. I think it's the broccoli soup that does this to him. He heads for the cottage.
Logan!
Sunny calls out, and I follow her gaze to the table of food set up about 20 feet away. He is indeed feeding cocktail wieners to Wiener.
He pulls the treat away every time Wiener gets close, so he has to jump for them, making his ears flap and Logan burst into a fit of giggles. It's cute, but if the dog gets the human treat, the cottage is going to smell like rotten dog fart for the rest of the weekend. I'll take Liam. You deal with Logan, I offer. Turns out the reason Sunny looked so pregnant at the end of last season was because she was incubating two babies instead of one. Sunny glances from Logan to the squirming kid in her arms to me. I can handle it, I reassure her. Prior to all of my teammates having babies, I hadn't had much exposure, but when your best friend has a kid, it sort of forces you to figure out how to become an honorary uncle. I may not be 100% natural around kids, but I can definitely watch one for a few minutes without the world coming to an end. Sunny passes the little guy off to me. Thanks, I'll be right back. Take your time. He's half asleep, or at least he is, until he's out of his mom's arms and into mine. How's it going, buddy? He shouts nonsense in my face and cranes to find his mom. She'll be back. She's dealing with your older brother. He's getting up to no good over there. I have no idea how much he understands, but his little fists jab out, reaching for my sunglasses. I find a lounger and rearrange Liam so he's stretched out in my lap, feet pushing into my stomach. Look at you. Charlene smiles as she crosses the lawn, a beer in one hand and some kind of girly drink in the other. She drops into the chair beside mine and pulls out her phone, snapping a bunch of pictures. You better be careful, Mr. Westinghouse. Why's that? I tickle the bottom of Liam's feet and he bursts into a fit of giggles. It almost looks like you're enjoying this. People will start asking when you're going to knock me up. You let me know when you're ready for that and we can jump on the baby bandwagon. She laughs, but her expression shifts to contemplative. Are you serious? I want whatever you want, Charlene, you know that. I give his little tummy a tickle, and he giggles again, and then farts. It doesn't sound dry. Oh, you just did that, didn't you? I guess I better trade off with Miller. I lean over to give Charlene a quick kiss. I'll be back in a few. She grabs the front of my shirt, keeping our lips locked together long enough for her to get her tongue in my mouth for a stroke or two before she pulls back. I love you. And I love you, Firefly. I kiss the end of her nose, and she releases my shirt. I take Liam to the cottage and run into Violet on the way. She's cradling a sleepy-looking baby Robbie. She raises a brow when she sees me holding Liam at arm's length. He definitely crapped his pants based on the way the smell is getting worse, not better. Violet's all smirky. I assume it's because I'm holding him like he's a nuclear bomb, not a kid, but if the diaper starts leaking, I don't want to wear his crap, thank you very much. Better not let Charlene see you with Liam. Why not? Because it's baby central in here, and it's only a matter of time before her ovary clock starts ticking. Oh, well, nothing to worry about there. She's already seen me, and I already told her I'm happy to knock her up whenever she's ready. Liam lets another fart rip, and Violet and I grimace at each other. Come on, let's get that taken care of before he explodes all over the place. I follow her down the hall to Robbie's bedroom, which is right next door to hers and Alex's. She pats the changing table, and I lay Liam down. He started squawking, probably annoyed because he's marinating in his own crap. Violet puts Robbie in his crib, and I step back. Oh, no. This is all you. She motions from me to Liam. What? I can't. Seriously, Darren, it's poop. If you knock my bestie up, you're going to need to learn how to do this. Might as well start now. Don't worry, I'll walk you through it. She pats me on the shoulder. I give her the eye. You don't scare me, Westinghouse. Deal with the poop. I sigh. I guess she has a point. If Charlene decides she wants to have kids, I'm going to have to change some shitty diapers along the way. I unsnap the onesie that reads, I pooed, ironically enough. Okay, let's get the ass wipes ready. Liam is notorious for his ass explosions, aren't you, buddy? Violet coos at him, and he smiles and claps his hands together. I prepare the wipes and look to Violet. What next?
Time to get your hands dirty. Okay, you're going to pull the tabs on the diaper, and the trick is to slide the top of the diaper down and then grab Liam's ankles and lift them up before he can jam his foot in the dirty diaper. Got it?
I think so. I follow her instructions and gag a little as I get a glimpse of the damage. Violet walks me through cleaning him up, which is just fucking nasty. Liam seems to think it's hilarious, though. Violet's all smiles as I go for wipe number 50.
Did you bring the ring this weekend?
Yeah.
You gonna pussy out again?
I've had the ring for a few months. I'm waiting for the right time. I don't want to push Charlene into something she's not ready for.
Seriously? If she didn't run screaming at the offer to be knocked up by you, I'm pretty sure it means she's ready. Besides, I hear Randy's been looking at rings, and he and Lily are the co-founders of the Anti-Marriage Brigade. If you propose first, it means you get dibs on wedding dates.
You think Randy's going to buy Lily a ring?
Make sure his wiener is pointing down.
Violet instructs as I slide the fresh diaper under Liam's butt. She nudges me out of the way and finishes up.
I think what people want can change with time and perspective. You and Char are a perfect example of that. We can all make ourselves scarce tonight if you want. It's supposed to be nice out. There are always fireflies by the water when the sun goes down.
I mull that over. You really think she'll say yes? Violet fastens the snaps and picks up Liam, patting his little fresh butt.
When I met Charlene, she didn't date a guy for more than 3 weeks. She never settled down, wasn't interested in long-term boyfriends, which, considering what she's been through, isn't much of a surprise. But everything changed with you, Darren. If you ask, she'll say yes.
Okay. I nod, resolved. She smiles and pats my cheek.
Now go wash your hands so they're not covered in crap residue, and maybe your face, too.
By 9 o'clock, Alex and Violet still haven't reappeared from putting Robbie to bed. I have my doubts that Sonny and Miller will be back since the twins were fussy at dinner. Lily and Randy are likely doing what Lily and Randy do best, and with Poppy in the early stages of pregnancy, where all she seems to want to do is take naps, she might be done for the night as well. I'm not sure Violet had to work all that hard to give us some privacy. Charlene snuggles into my side on the glider, and we watch the sun disappear behind the trees from the deck outside our bedroom.
Remember when we used to stay up until 3 in the morning and drink our faces off?
I certainly do. My favorite part was always getting you up to the room at the end of the night. You're such an adventure in the bedroom when you're drunk. I run my nose up her temple and kiss her cheek.
I always went into it with the best of intentions.
I can feel her smiling.
Let's try all the things,
I mimic her voice.
I do not sound like that when I'm drunk.
You do, and I love it. You're so fucking adorable when you're trying to be a little firefly. I chuckle. We could do shots if you feel like letting your freak out. Charlene snorts.
I think I'll pass. Those babies are like roosters at the crack of dawn. I can't imagine nursing a hangover and dealing with all of that craziness.
She motions to the sounds coming from inside the cottage. We're silent for a few minutes, enjoying the peace and the quiet, apart from the occasional burst of crying, coming from one of the bedrooms anyway. Alex said the cottage next door is for sale. Charlene shifts so she can look at me.
You want to buy it?
It's not a question. This place isn't going to be able to handle all of us for much longer.
Not with the way Sonny and Miller keep populating the future NHL draft anyway,
Charlene agrees. She's currently pregnant with baby number 4 and very determined to have a girl. Based on Alex's competitive nature, I'm pretty sure they'll be trying for baby number 2 soon. Even Randy seems to be warming up to the idea of having a family. Although I think it's a lot easier to picture it when you're surrounded by your teammates who are essentially your family. Which is something I've started to do lately. It might be nice to have a second cottage for summer get-togethers, especially since my contract expires at the end of next season.
Chicago could renew.
Maybe. And if they do, I think it will be for a year at a time. I stare out at the lake, considering all the options for our future. Charlene and I have talked about this often over the past year, what I'll do when my contract with Chicago ends. I don't know if I want to play without Alex. Charlene kisses the edge of my jaw.
You are such a sentimental softy.
I'm pragmatic.
You can call it that if it helps you feel better about it. There's no shame in loyalty.
I'm pretty sure he's going to retire at the end of next season.
He has too much to lose now.
He does. He'll go into sports casting, and I can try coaching, and we can stay here where all the important people are. I won't take Charlene away from Violet and her family. They're too much a part of both of our lives, the stability we both need, the good example of what a family should look like that neither one of us ever had growing up.
I don't like to think about any of the other guys getting traded, Charlene says softly.
I know. I press my lips to her temple. These people have become part of our family over the last 4 years, and the idea of them not being here is difficult to fathom, but it's a reality we'll all have to face. They'll all be back eventually. Chicago is home.
I hope you're right.
I think I am. The sound of babies finally settling gives way to crickets. I'm nervous now, edgy. This thing I want to ask her, making my throat tight and my palms damp. I think we're at the place we need to be.
Oh!
Charlene sits up and points out into the darkness.
Fireflies!
I take the opportunity for what it is and stand, holding out a hand to her. Let's go catch one. We take the stairs down and cross to the beach where it's darkest. Charlene is still, eyes scanning the inky night for a tiny green glow. When she spots it, she jumps and claps her hands around it. Did you get it?
I don't know.
I come up behind her, ducking down to rest my chin on her shoulder, and we wait, patient and quiet, to see if her palms light up.
I think I missed it,
she whispers, when it seems to be taking too long. Just wait. I slip one arm around her waist and kiss her neck. And sure enough, a minute later, her palms glow green in the inky night. She opens them immediately, and the firefly rises into the air, giving me the opportunity I need. I clap my hands around empty air.
I think I got something,
I whisper. I hold my clasped hands out in front of her, lifting the top one to reveal the small velvet box.
What is that?
Charlene strains to make out what's in my palm in the darkness. I flip the lid open, the moonlight catching on it, making it sparkle as I come around to stand in front of her. She lifts her wide, uncertain gaze to meet mine.
Darren?
In my head, I've done this a million times, practiced all the words I want to say to her. I drop to my knee in the sand, hoping I've got this right, that I know her as well as I think I do. I'll never put the lid on your jar, Charlene. I love you too much to do that. I know I already have you in all the ways that count, but I want this with you. I want your fire and your softness, your innocence and your adventure. I want to love you and protect you and take care of you exactly as you do for me. I want to watch you glow every day for the rest of my life. Say you'll marry me. Be the only forever I need. Please. Charlene's fingers lift to her lips and then drop to her pearls. Her eyes are soft and glassy as she takes my face between her hands and bends to kiss me.
Of course I'll marry you. You're my only forever.
This has been an Audible Originals production of Pucked Love, Book 6 in the Pucked series. Written by Helena Hunting, performed by Sebastian York and Stella Bloom. Executive producers Elizabeth Scholar and Mike Charzik. Producer, Neil Basic. Edited and mastered by Sarah Kosa. Copyright 2018 by Helena Hunting. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.